it would be superfluous for me to say that I'm happy to be here, because at my age, I'm happy to be anywhere in the world, okay? I was in Lewis Avenue Baptist Church a few months ago, and we ate dinner in the basement. I was walking up the stairs to the auditorium, and a little girl standing at the top of the steps, she looked at me and she said, "Sir, you look old." And I said, "Hun, the reason I look old is because I am old, okay?" And a few months after that, I was in Wilson, North Carolina, and having lunch with the pastor, and he and his wife, they're probably mid-30s, something like that. We were having a wonderful time. And she said, "Brother Sis, you came to my church when I was a little girl." And she said, "You were old then." So I said, "Well, I've been old for a long time, okay?" But it is a great joy to be here. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read just three verses. And following the verses I read, you'll find the feeding of the 5,000. And, of course, this is found in all four of the gospel writings, in the 6th chapter of Mark, in the 9th chapter of Luke, in the 6th chapter of John, and here in the 14th chapter of Matthew. But I just want us to think about a statement that Jesus made to his disciples tonight, okay? Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 14. "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed the sick." And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed the sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals." Now here's a statement I want us to look at, okay? "But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give you them to eat." Dear Lord, speak to our hearts through this conference the way that you spoke to your disciples. And I pray that we will honor and glorify you in everything that is done, and we'll give you all of the praise and all of the glory for whatever you do, in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. We offer this prayer. Notice the statement, "give ye them to eat." In John chapter 19 and verse 30, we hear our Lord uttering the phrase just before he gave up the ghost and died. And the phrase was this, in English, it is three words: "It is finished." In the Greek, it is only one word, tetelestai. It is a word that indicates something is totally done. Finished. Complete. A mortgage has been paid. That would be good to see on your mortgage, amen. Tetelestai. Paid in full. For Jesus said, "Man, I have done everything my Father sent me to do. I have kept the law, I have healed the sick, I have fed the multitude," on and on and on he could have said. "I finished, it is finished, it is finished." But this is what I think it really meant. Everything that needs to be done in order for mankind to be saved has been done. Redemption is finished. Reconciliation is finished. Justification is finished. Thank God, glorification is finished. Everything that needs to be done in order for mankind to be saved has been done. Now for just a minute, let's listen to the Lord after he had been buried and resurrected from the grave. By the way, aren't you glad he didn't say, "I'm finished"? He wasn't finished. They'd bury him, put him in a tomb. But on Sunday morning, when they went out to look for him, he wouldn't be there. He had been resurrected from the grave. He is a living Savior. After his resurrection, he appeared to his disciples on various occasions. So at the beginning of the mission conference, let's think about it. We tonight represent the disciples he was speaking to at that time. What did he say to them? And what is he saying to us tonight? By the way, we have as much a responsibility to evangelize our generation as they did their generation. Listen as he said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And by the way, after he said that, he ascended up to heaven. With these verses in mind, and with the Great Commission before us, by the way, you'll notice in all of those statements, he was not making a suggestion. He was giving a mandate. With that great mandate in mind, think with me about three simple things. Number one, our great responsibility. Our great responsibility. When Jesus looked at multitudes and talked about multitudes, and we find that several times, the fact is, when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, there were fewer than 300 million people in the unknown, then known world. 300 million. That's fewer than reside in the United States of America tonight. The world's population did not reach 1 billion until 1804. By 1927, it had doubled to 2 billion. By 1960, there were 3 billion. 74, there was 4 billion. 87, 5 billion. 99, 6 billion. 2011, 7.8 billion people. You say, so what? 7.8 billion people on planet Earth. And every day, 160,000 of them die. And of those 160,000 that died, every one of them either went to heaven or to hell. There's no purgatory, no second chance. Think about it. From this time last night, 24 hours later, 160,000 people died. Now, don't worry. We're not running out of people, amen? Because every day, 360 people, 360,000 people are born. And Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And close to the end of the first century, he wrote to the church at Corinth and he said, and some have not the knowledge of God. I speak that to your shame. What would he say to us tonight? After more than 2,000 years, all over the world tonight, there are literally hundreds of millions, billions of people who know absolutely nothing about the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our commanding officer has commanded us to get the gospel to every creature. So our great responsibility. Secondly, think about the attitude of the disciples when Jesus said, give you them to eat. By the way, there's plenty of the bread of life to go around. Amen. For he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He died for all men. And all people can be saved. There is no scarcity of the bread of life. The only problem is, it has not been distributed. So when he said to his disciples, give ye them to eat. Hey, by the way, they were on vacation. They didn't go out there to minister. They went out there to take a rest. Jesus had said, come ye apart. They got out there and here's the multitude of people. And Jesus says, give ye them to eat. What was their attitude? Number one, they were calloused. Matthew 14:15, look at it. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. The time is now far past. Send the multitude away. The calloused. We're on vacation. We didn't come out here to be bothered. We didn't come out here to minister. We came out here to rest. Send them away. The callous. There are many today that have absolutely no concern about the millions and millions of people that are dying and going to hell. The callous. I have all I can do to take care of my own business. Don't bother me. I'm on vacation. Don't bother me. I have my life all planned out. I do not doubt that during these 5 days of mission conference that God will speak to some of you about going to the great unevangelized fields of the world. Don't be callous. And I know your budgets are filled. Many times the money runs out before the month does. But during the mission conference, God will speak to many of your hearts about giving so that those who have been called and ready to go can go. Don't be callous. Then there was another man. His name is Philip. Philip, when he saw the multitude and knew what needed to be done. The Bible says in John 16:5-8, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said to Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? By the way, when Jesus asked a question, he was never asking for information, okay? I mean, he's omniscient. He knows everything. He just wanted to get Philip to thinking. And this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. 200 pennies worth of bread. Half a year's salary. If we had half a year's salary, Lord, we couldn't give all of them even a little bit of bread. Awfully easy to think. What would my little bit do in helping to feed this great multitude? What would my little bit do in getting the gospel to 7.8 billion people on planet Earth? The calculating. I never will forget on Sunday in February of 1964, I told my church that I was going to Japan as a missionary, and I would be resigning my position as associate pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church. The next morning, I went to the World Home Bible League to pick up some Bibles. And the president of the World Home Bible League was there, Dr. Chapman. And he asked me to come in his office to have coffee with him. I did. I told him about my commitment to go to Japan as a missionary. We talked for a few minutes. Then he looked at me, and I'll never forget the question he asked me. He said, "Don, do you believe it's possible to evangelize the world in our generation?" And I've tried very hard and to think about what I said. Now, being a Baptist preacher, I'm positive I didn't say I don't know, okay? I'm sure I had opinion. Opinions are like noses. We all have one, amen? I'm sure I had some kind of opinion. But I cannot for the life of me remember what I said to Dr. Chapman. But I do remember that day visiting the hospital, visiting some sick people, different things and so forth. And as I was visiting, I was thinking about Dr. Chapman's question. And all of a sudden I had this thought. It's not ours to question whether we can do it or not. God said, do it. Is it really possible to evangelize all of the 7.9 billion people living on planet Earth today? Sure it is. God said, do it. And God never commanded the impossible. So don't just sit around and figure out whether it can be done or not. One branch of the service has this as their motto. It is not ours to wonder, to reason why. It's just ours to do or die. So don't worry about what other people can do. Don't worry about how little or how much you might have. Just don't be a calculating Christian. Don't be a calloused Christian. Unconcerned. You heard about the fellow that said to a friend of his, "What do you think the greatest problem in our church is, ignorance or apathy?" And the other one said, "I don't know and I don't care." Amen. No, there's no need for us to be ignorant, and there's no need for us to be apathetic. Then there was another man. His name is Andrew. And he said, "Lord, there's a little boy here. There's a lad here. He has five fishes and 2 pieces of bread." Or it might be the opposite. I'm not looking at my notes, okay? "But what are they amongst the many?" Don't you love the statement? Little is much when God is in it. So you have the calculating. You have the cautious. And you have the calloused. But there's somebody else there. And Jesus, when he saw the multitude, was moved with compassion. The compassion. I'm looking out tonight. By the way, I can't see all of you that are listening online, but you're out there, okay? Thank God for that. But I'm looking at people, I believe, that have compassion. In the little book of Jude, and some having compassion make a difference. You can do a lot in the Christian ministry without certain things. But without compassion, we're not going to do anything. And Jesus had compassion. So the great opportunity, by the way, it's not just a responsibility. It is a great opportunity to get the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world is not just a responsibility. It is a great joy. It is a great privilege. Now think with me in closing. What can one person make a difference? What can one person make a difference? What can one person going make a difference? I used to say, some can pray, some can give, some can go, talking about missions. But the bottom line is, all of us can give, all of us can pray, and all of us can go. It may not be to some foreign country, but everybody can go somewhere. What difference can one person going make a difference? A man by the name of Eugene Kimball got a burden for all of his class members, and he visited in a department store, and he talked to a young man that worked in the shoe department by the name of D.L. Moody. And that day, Moody trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. I've heard Dr. Lee Robinson talked about Sadie Daisy Halls leading him to the Lord when he was a 14-year-old boy. I believe Zach gave the testimony tonight, or one of the missionaries, one of them, that their Sunday school teacher led them to the Lord. You may go next door and visit a neighbor. You may go to another room and visit somebody in your family. You may go across town and visit somebody. But God may call you to go around the world. And your going can make the difference. What can one person praying make a difference? It can make all of the difference in the world. And I've often said, and I mean it from the depth of my heart, if you give the missionaries your money and do not follow that with your prayers, you're doing the missionaries a great injustice. There is not many, many places that the missionaries cannot be paid out of. But there's no place they can't get prayed out of. We have a great prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. And one person praying can make all of the difference in the world. And one person giving. Be awfully easy to think. What little bit I can give will not make any difference. But if everybody thought like that, then nobody would give anything. Listen to Jesus again. Give you them to eat. I have died for their sin. I came to the earth. I lived a perfect life. I suffered and bled and died so they could be saved. I was buried. I was resurrected from the grave. I am now in heaven making intercession. Give ye them to eat. Take the bread of life to a lost and dying world. Don't be callous. Don't be cautious. Don't be calculating. Would you tonight and this week pray, oh God, give me a compassionate heart like my Savior. Let's pray together.